Yes. To be 64 again. I'm not sure I even remember being 64. Now I consider it middle-aged. And while it's extremely unlikely that I'll make it to 128, it's 100% safe, sure bet that I'll never be 64 again. About a year and a half ago, I delivered a sermon from here titled Aging in America. So to make sure that this wouldn't be repetitive, I went back and read it. That piece's key word was aging. What I have now come to grips with, and my current theme is old, age-ed. What's the difference? Visit a winery and look at the huge vessels inside. The wine is aging. When it's aged, it's bottled. However, even in the bottle, it is still aging. And if kept too long, may turn into vinegar. Aging is a continuum. Everyone from the day of their birth is aging. The recognition of being old is something else. Maybe more of a stage, a way station on the journey. I'm hoping so, anyway. I have no intention of voluntarily ending up my journey or turning into vinegar too soon. So when is a person old? It really varies. I remember as a kid thinking the critical cutoff point was 50. And honestly, I believe that while the arbitrary age appears silly from the vantage of my rearview mirror, it seems to me that many think of the concept of old solely in terms of chronological age. And by doing so, box themselves into a timetable of sorts. And that artificial roadmap can become part of a major self-fulfilling tool used to convert perception into reality. And while the number of years, of course, has a lot to do with one's awareness of age, the passage of time is only one element and by no means the entire story. To be fair, though, while the centenarian might still think of him or herself as old or as not being old, that's a little bit unrealistic. It could be the result of simple denial, a rejection of reality, or maybe, sadly, mental decline. But for now, let's forget that rare 100-year-old who still doesn't recognize the realities of nature. To me, more concerning is the 50-year-old, or maybe even the 35-year-old, who decides that they have now been relegated to the human scrap heap. Not just considering themselves as old, often they decide there's nothing worthwhile ahead. It's all downhill. My own observation is that those who decide that every good is past are most often those who can speak to very little of a positive experience up to the present. Those who have been extracting the good life, the good that life has to offer, are more often those who can speak to very little of, are far better to be equipped to seek the new challenges of age. Learning opportunities and enjoyment, albeit somewhat in different form than the past. Of course, there are certain physical limitations which age brings on. Recognizing that one is now undeniably old, however, is not the same thing as believing there is no reason to go on and continue to grow. If I were to believe in the so-called norm, then statistically I became old a number of years ago. I take some small solace in the fact that sea turtles live well into their hundreds and still manage to swim vast expanses of the ocean every year, seemingly without tiring. Alas, though, I am not a sea turtle. That may be a mixed blessing, but having never explored the quality of the sea turtle's life experiences with a sea turtle, I really can't be certain. Well, then how and when do we decide we've reached the plateau called old, the one which proclaims you're no longer young? The idea of middle age is somewhat of an illusion. For every 60-year-old who considers him or herself middle age, there is another 60-year-old who decides he or she is old. Middle age and old may both be largely a state of mind. But if we agree that the tolling of years, the mere passage of time, is not the entire story, how can we recognize when we've left that one oasis called middle years and entered into the next pause, old age? There's so many hints along the way to being old, or at least the self-recognition of it. The various incidents leading up to the conclusion are like a long, and hopefully long, road. It goes on inexorably, but along the way it seems to pause, sort of a rest stop on the journey. My high school years seem to have lasted forever. Likewise, my time in the Navy or my college years. There seemed to be a temporary lull in the aging continuum. Of course, that oasis or plateau is illusory. The process really doesn't pause at all. But as each phase of life ends, another begins. Graduating, choosing a career, one then rests on the temporary plateau for a while, accepting the comfort of what seemingly is a status quo on life's journey. Yet the aging continues, whether perceived or not, and it moves inexorably forward. But the actual time of acceptance is different. While the day that that time bomb explodes, it may seem sudden, but the reality kicks in and ignites that mental bomb. There are significant events leading to that, oh my God, moment. And while the onset of age is not really sudden, the realization of it often is. And that moment of realization can be quite traumatic. For me, there were many events which led up to and finally and forcibly spoke to me, Bob, you're old. Diane and I were on a vacation trip to the maritime areas in the state of Washington. At one point in heading back to Portland in the rental car, we had to board an auto-carrying ferry boat to cross a stretch of water. We hadn't eaten, and when the boat docked, the only thing even resembling a restaurant was a McDonald's. Yes, we were starved enough to rush in under the golden arches. I placed the order, and the young man behind the counter said, "That'll be, I don't really remember the amount of the bill, less 10% senior discount." Now, I'm as happy as anyone to save a buck, but this was a shock. How did this kid know how old I was? Shouldn't he have asked? Maybe I didn't want to be publicly accept this corporate largesse. I took the tray, hoping others in the line didn't overhear. The fuse leading to the ultimate explosion had been lighted. Hopefully, the fuse would be long. No need rushing into these things. The next set of clues occurred at the gym I go to most mornings. Suddenly, or maybe not so suddenly, I realized other attendees were saying things like, "Excuse me, sir," "Thank you, sir," or even more disconcerting, "I hope I look as good as you do when I'm your age, sir." And damn it, I can open the door myself. The fuse was still sputtering along, but it seemed to accelerate from that point on. I guess the next light bulb moment is when I finally retired from my work career, another illusory oasis on the road. I had been in business for myself for a few years and had gradually cut back. I was being more and more selective as to the assignments I was willing to undertake and doing nothing to look for new clients. As I did less and less, I wondered if I'd ever be able to say no more. One day it happened. I received a call from an attorney who wanted to hire me as a consultant. Thank you, but I've retired. I didn't ask what the assignment was about or whether I felt I could address the issues. Thank you, but I've retired. When I hung up the phone, I had mixed feelings. I was amazed I had for the first time said no to an opportunity. But mixed with that was a feeling of euphoria, a celebration, the end of an era, time to get back on the road. Of course, coming to grips with the physical aspects of aging is sobering. Yet I can think of tremendous comic potential in it. Despite the fact that I'm experiencing a lot of the bittersweet symptoms myself. But the moment of epiphany was not ready yet. That moment would come later, after a series of events and then finally the apocalypse. That time of realization and hopefully acceptance would wait a while. Excuse me. In the fall of 2016, Diane and I had decided to spend 10 days on the Big Island of Hawaii. We'd been to most of the other islands as a result of work, vacation trips, but I had never spent time on the Big Island. The volcano was erupting, and friends had recently returned and were enthusiastic about their experience. Diane found us a really nice setting on a small farm in a beautiful, well-appointed apartment, first floor. All the conveniences of home, kitchen, coffee pot, laundry room, bath and shower, chickens roaming around the yard, free eggs for the finding, pineapples free for the cutting, and while only a few miles from the Kona coast, an elevation sufficient to make the climate comfortable. It was one of the nicest places we've ever stayed on a vacation. We learned a few years ago that we were much more comfortable in this type of accommodation than in a hotel. No room service to make it impossible for us to know when they'd be knocking at the door. We were furnished with enough towels and washcloths for our entire stay, and if we wanted more, the owners lived upstairs and were always gracious and willing to help if we needed it, but only if we asked. So all the comforts of home, paradise, right? Not having to go out for meals three times a day, fresh coffee aroma to wake us up. Tomorrow we'd begin exploring the sights and attractions of the Big Island. Perfect! Not quite. Day one, downtown Kona, Hawaii. So many interesting shops and restaurants. Diane is a much better browser than I. So after walking a few blocks, I was beginning to feel my chronically aching back begin to tighten up. I found a shady spot in the outdoor mall and sat down on a backless stone bench. Meet me here in an hour. After about 15 minutes, I felt self-conscious as I was in the direct line of sight of one of the shop owners. I spent the rest of the hour repositioning myself, always trying to stay in the immediate area lest Diane lose track of me. I had the car keys, though. Sitting on a non-support hard surface did little to ease the pain. When her window shopping was done, Diane located me. After lunch, we headed back to our home base. We ate in that night. Next day, we'd find a nice beach. I had a custom-fitted swim mask, which I had only used once. I always had enjoyed swimming in the ocean, especially in a reef area where I could enjoy the company of colorful schools of fish. I had waded into the surf about up to my waist when a modest-sized wave hit me and I was knocked off my feet. Sitting in the foam, I realized there was nothing to grab onto to get me back up onto my feet. With some effort, or was it a stranger willing to assist this doddering old man? I stood up. We went to beaches several times during our trip, but I had surrendered. About a foot above the ankle was as wet as I needed to be. Still, the beach excursions were pleasant, for sale cheap. Like new swim mask. The main attraction on the Big Island is, of course, the active volcano, which was, at the time we were there, erupting. So we booked an all-day bus tour. We met our driver, Jim Carrey, for God's sake, at a predetermined spot. Tour buses don't stop at remote farmhouses. Jim, an ex-Chicago truck driver, was extremely knowledgeable. As we stopped at some of the hotels to pick up the riders, he had me sit up front in the co-pilot seat. Early on, he decided I'd appreciate his referral to me as Uncle. He quickly learned every one of the dozen or so passengers by name, and I guess he knew mine as well. But for the entire trip, I was Uncle. It had an uneasy effect on me. Not sure I liked it, but I accepted that for that one day. That day, I would be known as Uncle. First stop along the road, a vast expanse of dried lava. Let's go out on it. But be careful, you don't want to fall. That stuff is sharp as a razor. I gingerly walked out about 10 yards, lagging behind the rest of the group. My severely compromised sense of balance was speaking to me, don't fall. And I heeded its words. I headed back and waited by the empty bus. And so it was during our stay. I realized how much easier it was to negotiate the familiar surroundings in Castro Valley. I know every nook and cranny of our home. I was comfortable in my daily gym workouts because I had memorized every handhold and grab bar in the place. But not so much in our vacation surroundings. In the middle of the night on a bathroom run, I became a little disoriented and banged my knee on a piece of furniture. A few weeks later, I'd be receiving cortisone injections at the site of that injury. It went on like this throughout our adventure. But don't misunderstand, I thoroughly enjoyed that trip to the island of Hawaii. Botanical gardens, seahorse farms, and yes, even the beaches, the sand mostly. But I learned that if my euphoria about this wonderful place was not to become disaster, I needed to accept the limitations of the wear and tear existent in me. Balance was no longer what it used to be. Likewise, stamina, strength, or resilience. But with a little caution, I was still able to find things in which to extract joy and satisfaction. The morning of our flight home, dreading what the cramped space would do to my already aching knee, I stepped out of the shower and confronted the full-length mirror. It seems it had become severely scratched and pitted during the night. I felt the glass. It was smooth as glass. Those lines, all those nooks and crannies, were not on the mirror, they were in it. My reflection. That explosive moment of capitulation, Bob, you are old. So I can't play baseball anymore. Swimming in the ocean, unwise. A run around Lake Chabot, not a chance. There are things at which I'm better than before. Perhaps because the limited time spent on more physically taxing things enables me to spend more time writing, still trying to master the banjo, doing crossword puzzles, reading, and keeping well informed on current world and national events. Although being informed these days doesn't exactly reach the level of what I'd characterize as pleasure. More like masochism. And even along with the acceptance of old age, I managed to maintain a certain optimism. I have two pill dispensing boxes at home, one for mornings and one for evenings. They're 7 days. Each Saturday morning, I refill them for the entire week, for the next 7 days. Now, I ask you, is that not in itself a demonstration of unbridled optimism? Incidentally, all of those pills are meant to combat various age-related issues. None, however, promises to be that miraculous anti-aging pill. There is a surefire anti-aging pill, however. It's called cyanide, and they give it to spies to use when they're captured. It does stop the aging process. But I digress. When meeting up with old friends, I can honestly claim they look exactly as I remember them. They may be a combination of failing eyesight and failing memory, but nevertheless, it is comforting. Another achievement I have nurtured and have developed through the years is my proficiency in the use of an electric hair dryer. It used to take me 5 minutes to dry my hair. I'm down to about 30 seconds now. Now, that's what I call talent. And as mentioned, I can make as many excursions as necessary to the bathroom during the night without injury, having memorized the route. Yet, I still miss the feel of a wooden bat solidly connecting with a leather baseball. Learning to drive a car, donning a sailor's uniform, graduating from high school and then college, the euphoria of landing my first job, swimming freely with colored reef fish in tropical waters. Those things are not coming back. Life is different. Painfully so in some sense, but richly different in others. On the other hand, I have beaten the young man's greatest fear, that of dying prematurely. You know, the whole thing's kind of a mixed bag. Amen.